Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. Today we're taking a look at two stocks to consider buying ahead of their upcoming December earnings releases. But before we get into everything, I want to say remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts, and make sure to check out our new Zacks.com/promo page for a look into our services, portfolios, and more. So before we jump into the two stocks to consider buying ahead of their earnings results that are due out this week and next week, I want to just quickly run through the broader market because obviously you need context before you consider buying stocks, no matter what's going on. So selling returned to the market in a big way on Friday, which really prolonged the up and down and really wild stretch that began on Black Friday, so the day after Thanksgiving. And it was the constant headlines and the really current uncertainty surrounding the new variant of the coronavirus that started making waves. And then we also saw Jay Powell's comments that inflation might justify faster tapering have really driven all of this selling and volatility. The central bank had originally planned to end its run of stimulus-focused bond purchases in June while leaving interest rates untouched, but ongoing supply chain bottlenecks and rising prices might force their hand much sooner than that. And Wall Street's really honed in on the suggestion that Powell made recently that it's time to probably end that transitory phrasing that he and the central bank had been using in reference to inflation. It's unclear what impact at the moment the new variant will have on the rebounding economies around the world and in the U.S., as well as international travel. And the market reacted to those unknowns in a big way. And we've seen a lot of former high flyers and big COVID winners getting crushed as investors drop growth names. We've seen a ton of these big high flyers off those COVID lows, hitting new 52-week lows in the last week and last several sessions. That said, stocks then did rebound slightly through morning trading on Monday, with stocks and oil both up on hopes that the new variant might be milder than people had initially worried. So we saw that selling just because you never know what's going to happen. And we saw Bitcoin stabilize a little bit as well after plummeting over the weekend. So the Dow was up about 1.8% the last time I looked, with the S&P 500 up about 1% and the NASDAQ about 0.34% higher. So some positivity to start the week. And obviously, we could see selling continue as stocks are still not too far off those highs, especially with the S&P 500. We've seen the NASDAQ fall a little bit lower. The NASDAQ was trading about 7% lower from its records, with the S&P 500 about 4% off its highs at the moment. So we could see some more selling, but we've seen obviously buyers step in throughout the post-COVID comeback pretty much anytime things seem to be a little too overdone in terms of selling. So anything could happen in the next several weeks heading into 2022, but the bulls have continued to show they are ready to buy when anything looks to be a little overdone. So with this in mind, we're going to take a look at two stocks that are set to report in the next several weeks. And the first stock up is Lululemon, which trades in the ticker LULU. And it's set to report its Q3 financial results on Thursday, December 9th. So this upcoming Thursday. And we're just going to go through Lululemon and give you the breakdown to see if it's worth buying on or before their earnings or even after their earnings. So Lululemon has transformed from a really small high-end yoga clothing maker over 20 years ago into a global apparel powerhouse. The company currently sells an array of athletic apparel for women and men, alongside clothing that can be worn to work, dates, the golf course, and beyond. Really, as more people are dressing more casual than ever, Lululemon's transformed all of that. They also have rolled out more self-care items, outerwear such as coats, accessories, and more things that don't just look like traditional skin-tight yoga pants for both men and women. So just they've become a more diverse clothing retailer than just strictly athletic apparel, more crossover appeal, you could say. The athletic retailer has also expanded beyond clothing and apparel. And last year, it bought the digital-focused at-home fitness company Mirror. The company's purchase has already outperformed Lululemon's own expectations, and it's adding additional live and on-demand digital workout content and putting more Mirror, like what they call a shop in shops. So you can now buy Mirror equipment or test out the Mirror inside different Lululemon locations. They're expecting to have 200 of these locations by the holiday season. So as we speak, Lululemon did close last quarter with about 530 total company-operated stores, up from about 500 in the prior year period. Lululemon's really focusing on expanding in Asia, in Europe. It's at the moment heavily in Canada, United States, and Australia. That's while it's also continuing to improve its digital offerings, obviously, as every company does. The company topped our Q3 estimates, so obviously last quarter, and then it raised its guidance, with e-commerce accounting for about 42% of revenue last quarter. So looking ahead, Zach's estimates are calling for its 2021 revenue to surge 42% to $6.3 billion, with FY 2022 projected to come in another 17% higher, all the way up to $7.3 billion. This growth, which is driven in part by its mirror acquisition, falls 11% top-line expansion last year and 21% before that. So three straight big years, and it's not like Lululemon's big 42% growth is coming on top of a down year last year. They did really well during COVID, despite some initial struggles. Meanwhile, its adjusted earnings are projected to soar 60% this year and then another 20% next year. Lululemon has also beaten our EPS estimates by an average of 25% in the trailing four periods, including a 36% beat last quarter. The company's consensus earning estimates have also climbed recently, and its most accurate estimates, or the newest estimates, are higher as well. So this bottom line positivity helps Lululemon land a Zacks rank number two buy at the moment. Plus 15 of the 21 brokerage recommendations that Zacks has are strong buys with nothing below a hold. We should also note that the athleisure firm has a really strong balance sheet, and its textile and apparel industry is highly ranked at the moment in terms of Zacks Industries. We should note that the stock hit new records in mid-November. This run helped end an up-and-down stretch for the stock that had moved roughly sideways for a year. Overall, the stock had skyrocketed about 600% in the past 5 years. This obviously crushes this industry, and the S&P 500 has gone on a really, really impressive run. Obviously, there's some ups and downs included in that, including it's fallen back since it hit those new records in mid-November. So the stock's down about 14% from those records. This is including about a 5% downturn as of early trading Monday morning, with it trading at about $415 a share. It's also now approaching near oversold RSI levels of 30 or under at about 33. So this huge downturn quickly as part of this broader selling that started around Black Friday has made Lululemon maybe a more attractive entry point heading into its earnings. And also it's trading at about a 20% discount to its own year-long highs in terms of forward earnings and sales. So therefore, if you're a longer-term investor, given its growth outlook and its balance sheet and its expanding operations beyond clothing and more, and just as more and more people are dressing not in suits and fancy clothes at all times, even well before the pandemic, it might be worth considering buying Lululemon, especially given this near-term pullback heading into its earnings release later this week. And now we're going to transition to a totally different company than FedEx, within a totally different industry, or totally different company than Lululemon, and I just gave it away. We're talking about FedEx. And that trades under the ticker FDX. The company is set to report its Q2 FY 2022 earnings results on December 16th. So that's next week. The company is prepared to grow for years and years to come. And the global delivery firm has expanded its reach with the e-commerce to soar during the pandemic. That said, the stock did become victim of its own success, and the company faces substantial near-term headwinds in the form of rising labor costs and supply chain bottlenecks. So we're going to get into the brief story and then some near-term setbacks and then what to expect going forward for FedEx. So FedEx over the last several years has cut ties with Amazon. That was a big shock at the moment, but they decided they didn't want to be in business with a company who's aiming to be one of their largest competitors. It's also modernized in its automation efforts, invested heavily in optimizing its last mile residential deliveries, which is that booming e-commerce expansion. And that's really going to be where a ton of their growth comes from going forward. The firm also remains committed to its business-to-business segment, but as we mentioned, that e-commerce is going to be where a lot of its growth is coming from. A lot of its growth came from that during the pandemic, and it's invested heavily in those efforts. So the global shipping powerhouse pulled in about $70 billion in FY20, and then the company's e-commerce efforts paid off in a big way last year, with its FY2021 revenue up 21% to $84 billion, which was the period ended on May 31st, just for reference. So it's about to report its Q2 2022 results. FedEx executives last year also cut their timeline for overall industry expansion as the coronavirus pushed e-commerce adoption into overdrive. That said, the company's experiencing some turbulence at the moment, largely due to broader economic factors that are somewhat outside of its control. Stuff we've talked about at the beginning of the show with Powell and supply chain bottlenecks. So FedEx said last quarter that the tight labor market added $450 million in costs in the form of higher wages, increased overtime, and other expenses. Executives also said that supply chain setbacks have lowered demand for shipping, with digital sales even taking a hit as more shoppers head to stores or pick up digital orders themselves. Just amid all of the craziness in terms of holiday shopping and supply chains and as all the things we just talked about. So FDX's consensus earnings estimates have fallen since its last release. So we'll take a look at what to expect. So the current quarter, we're calling for about 9.4% revenue growth, and then we're calling for about 13% pullback on the bottom line as they deal with higher costs, as we just mentioned, in the form of paying their employees more and then just various other expenses that are all tied to this crazy bottleneck of the global supply chain. So we're calling for a 13% pullback to about $4.21 per share. If we look for the full year, though, we're calling for 8% revenue growth to $90.5 billion. And then we're calling for another 4% growth on the top of that next year, all the way up to over $94 billion. And then on the bottom line, we're calling for 7% growth this year. And then on top of that, next year, we're calling for another 16% growth. So just these temporary setbacks look set to end, because even our Q3 earnings estimate for FedEx is calling for 29% growth on the bottom line. So it seems like, based on these estimates, that we could see the global supply chain start to shake itself out and recover amid all of this craziness in the relatively near future. That said, its earnings estimates have still trended in the wrong direction for the current quarter. We did see its most recent estimate for Q3 come in 3 cents higher than it was last week, which is a positive sign, and the same for its overall 2023 estimate. We've seen some positivity in the last week, so that's always a good sign. With that said, the company grabs its Zacks rank number 3 hold at the moment, given some of its recent up and down earnings revisions. And despite some of the near-term setbacks, rising costs, and all of these worries, 12 of the 16 brokerage recommendations that Zacks has for the stock are strong buys, with the other 4 at holds. So overall, Wall Street is still really positive on FedEx. The company has an A grade for value and growth or momentum. Growth in our style score system, and its industry sits in the top 20% of over 250 Zacks industries. And the recent pullback in the struggle it's had over the last year and 6 months in particular has really recalibrated its valuation picture. The stock's now trading at 0.69 times forward 12-month earnings, which has it much closer to where it was trading before the pandemic, and at about a 30% discount compared to its highs over the last year. This also marks a discount compared to its transportation air market industry, which we just mentioned is highly ranked at the moment. The stock is also down 18% in the past year versus industry's 15% decline. So the whole industry has suffered recently. It was also a victim of its own success, as we mentioned at the top, where it soared off those COVID lows, and then it's kind of chopped around and had some big up and down movements. So the stock popped about 1.7% on Monday morning to around $245 a share, which marks nearly 30% upside still to its current Zacks consensus price target of over $313 a share. So that is a positive sign, and it's 1.2 2% dividend yield roughly matches the S&P 500 average at the moment. So that's some income along with a stock that seems to be a longer-term solid play. It's going to be able to benefit from years and years and years of to come of shipping. It's not going out of style. That business is not going out of style. And as we know, many of us know, at least e-commerce is only going to become more and more a part of people's lives as it was booming long before the pandemic, and it will continue to as people even get back to their normal lives. And the recent positivity has the stock trading at around neutral RSI level, so it could still have plenty of room left to climb heading into its upcoming earnings release before it reaches anywhere near overheated RSI levels. So it's worth considering FedEx and Lululemon both as near-term plays for the rest of maybe 2021 or the next 6 months, or as longer-term plays with they're both set to grow within totally different industries, but have a really great outlooks within both of those. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.